Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guest in the studio is Brendan Leonard. Brendan, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Nice to be here.
Great to have you on the show. We talked a little before we came on the air. You're a seasoned executive, and you've also worked with a number of privately held businesses and helped them through transitions and eventually sales. And you want to talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, certainly. I think it's a great experience. For me, I think it's been an interesting path. Post-MBA, I went to Notre Dame for my MBA. And really have come out of that and spent the last 22 years growing and turning around consumer-facing businesses and brands. So I have big company experience with Samsonite and Hasbro, and then really have kind of followed the path down from there to more entrepreneurial settings. So coming out of Hasbro, I went to work for a patient financing business, and we had built that business up and ultimately sold it to Capital One. So that went from very large Fortune 500 to more entrepreneurial settings. And then I went into a...
Sounds like you were ahead of your time there, because I'd imagine today that business must really be needed.
Yeah, it's a good news, bad news. Yeah. It is needed. And the people that I was involved with actually built up a second company after that, and recently went through another exit. So it really is. Unfortunately, it's a needed proposition in today's world.
Seems to be eating up more and more of people's paychecks. So,
yes, it certainly is. I came out of that experience after Capital One and wanted to really stay in the entrepreneurial setting. And so I had an opportunity to go into a family-owned business that was in a challenging environment. It was truly struggling and it was a consumer packaged goods business selling consumer health items. And so I went in to turn that around from a sales and marketing perspective. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we did. It was a unique experience because resources were fairly limited. Struggling business, family owned, and yet
first generation or multi generation
business. Okay. It had the right culture and, mm-hmm. and the desire to win. And so I had gone in there and really had to do some things differently in a smaller company setting. And so we really focused on new product development and innovation. And that really became a springboard for us, along with, focusing on other markets like the international, countries outside the U.S., as well as the Veterans Administration. And we had tremendous success, and we ended up growing the business, strong double digits, 04 through 08. We had the opportunity to meet the President of the United States in the Oval Office in 2008. As a result of our export growth, we won the President's E-Award for Excellence in Exporting, which was a great experience.
Wow.
And I think it...
Had the company had an international footprint prior to...
We had a somewhat of an international footprint, but it was really underdeveloped.
Okay.
And so we had to go in and work on a regulatory component. We had to bring in new talent, and we had to commit to going overseas. I think for me, that was a great... learning experience, because so many entrepreneurs focus strictly on the U.S., and yet there are tremendous markets overseas that are not only interested in American-made products, but they want to do business with American companies.
Where was your first foray, and how were those decisions made?
So for us, the first...
Because obviously the country's big, but the world's even bigger.
It certainly is, right? So we kind of dumbed it down. So start with English-speaking countries.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, understand what the regulatory requirements are, do the market research, find out which of your products would fit overseas, and then ultimately get overseas, meet with customers, exhibit in trade shows, learn the markets and look for ways to get into the business overseas. And for us, that turned out to be a great experience. The UK was a strong market for us, Australia, the Middle East, and then we kind of expand out from there. And look for creative opportunities that would allow us to profitably sell our goods and services outside the U.S.
And what percentage of your total business ended up coming from
international? Ended up being in the low 20% range.
Okay, so not insignificant.
Not insignificant at all. And really, I think, a great learning experience, because we learn things going to market overseas that we would then take to the U.S. and vice versa.
As you launch new
products and you do market research overseas, you can see some countries and some areas that are more developed than the States and some that are not as developed. And so, having that that perspective allowed us to really tailor our offerings to both segments, the U.S. and the overseas market, and allowed for profitable growth.
Now, you had an interesting experience in terms of, at some point, the family-owned business decided to exit.
Yes.
And so that must have been an interesting undertaking as well.
Yeah, it really was. I was promoted to be the president, the first non-family president in the company. And so...
Second generation. How many years into the business? 30 or so years in? Or?
Yeah, just about 30 years in. Yeah. And so for them, it was, you know, it was a good experience. The owner at the time was the president. He wanted to step back and do some different things. And he liked what I had been doing from a sales and marketing perspective and wanted to see what I could do if I, you know, ran the whole operation. And we really had a great team of people to work with. And so we just had a phenomenal run. So leading up to the sale, we had 4 years of consecutive record revenue at just under 13% compounded growth and 5 straight years of 20% plus EBITDA growth. And so that certainly made us an attractive target. And we ended up selling to a private equity portfolio that really was, it was almost the perfect experience for the buyer. We were in the same market. We were probably more innovative and nimble and able to get products to the shelf sooner, faster, and maybe in some ways better. Mm-hmm. So they had bought us for that, along with some of the work we had done overseas and along with the Veterans Administration, which we had built up ultimately into our number five corporate account. And so it was really a perfect mesh for what they were looking for from an acquisition along with what we offered. But it really was. It was a... you know, it was, I think, overall a good experience. They were excellent to our employees. Ultimately, we fully integrated into their facility. Some of our employees did, in fact, stay on. Others had an opportunity to relocate to Minneapolis, although we didn't have anyone take it. But I think from an exit standpoint in private equity, you always hear or you often hear bad things about private equity.
Right.
But I think we had a tremendously positive experience. I think from a culture standpoint, there was a strong fit. They had a very strong commitment to employees and really were very beneficial to our employees as they ultimately exited out of the company.
Do you think, and you know, this is where you get to toot your own horn, do you think that you being an outside the family helped in that process to really vet the acquirer and to make sure that the ultimate legacy, if you will, or whatever the owners were looking for was able to be accomplished?
You know, I think it was certainly a great asset. You know, I think one area where many family-owned businesses maybe fall short is they lose the outside perspective. Mm-hmm. Now they can counter that with a strong board, but I always think it's important to look outside the business, and it just allows you to take new directives. And so I think it helped in the sale process and explaining what the value was and the vision and where we were going and how we created our value. Because, you know, again, we were a much smaller business. They were 4X our size, the company that acquired us. But ultimately, the work we did in developing and launching new products was really eye-opening for them in such a way that they ended up adopting our process. So my involvement in the integration was really teaching them how we went to market and how we did it in a more efficient and, I think, ultimately a more effective manner. So I think that was of great value to the seller. Mm-hmm. In terms of maximizing value, as well as the acquirer and what they could do long term with it,
and the sellers actually ended up exiting. The actual owners exited right away.
Right away.
And did they keep you on for a period of time to manage the transition?
Yeah,
so
I stayed on for a year to lead the integration. You know, the initial period was to do an evaluation and help them with the evaluation of, did it warrant keeping our facility open? Unfortunately, that was not the case. Mm-hmm. But they did end up onboarding our entire sales team, which was, you know, which was a nice scenario, and it was an environment for our employees where they could work remotely from Massachusetts versus relocating to Minneapolis.
Mm. So, you know, as much of a win as possible out of it, and it sounds like many people transition very well.
Yeah, you know, I think so. It's always a frightening experience. But I think communication and culture are so important. And the company that did acquire us really was, I could not speak any more highly of them. They were really phenomenal to work with.
Hmm. And you mentioned that it was a private equity company or a private equity owned company, but that the acquisition sounds like an add on to an existing portfolio company.
Yes,
and integration with that. And I think you're dispelling some notions about private equity, you know, being and maybe venture capital gets more the rap of the hatchet men,
right?
You know, coming in and saying, what can we cut out? But it sounds like in this particular case, you did your due diligence, you came up, you know, you found the acquirer, they found you, but it was a good cultural fit in a lot of ways. And you were able to achieve your objectives with them.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I always viewed it as my number one objective was to maximize the value for the family that owned the business. Mm-hmm. They had the financial risk, and as a result of that, they were deserving of maximizing that value. So we were able to do that, But then, you know, just as important, certainly for our owners, was that we would be, if we were to sell, we would sell to a company that would take care of the employees. And even if they were not continuing on as part of severance packages or whatnot, that they would be treated in a fair manner. And I think that was an important part of the dialogue, even as part of the early deal process. And I think ultimately that's what that happened. They, you know, they followed through on what they said.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though many of us did find ourselves out of work, we did have a good package to walk out the door with.
Which is a nice story to hear, because very often you don't hear those stories.
Right.
And so wonderful. If our listeners want to get in touch with you and talk more about your experiences and what you're doing today, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, best, LinkedIn is always a great method. And also, my cell phone, 617-233-5602, or email bjleonard2002@yahoo.com.
Wonderful. Our guest on Radio Entrepreneurs has been Brendan Leonard, and it's been interesting to hear your perspective on being an outside member of a family business going through ultimately a transition and a sale.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful story. And I'm Jonathan Friedman. We'll be right back with another interesting story of entrepreneurship on Radio Entrepreneurs.